Who was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The dangers of a jiggle joint chauffeur. Later on Strippers on the Loose with Sterling at Night.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about this week's New York Post article entitled Bikini-Clad Coeds Brawl on the Beach in Wild Spring Break Video. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Great prices, great fun, new feature, the people of Walmart. Later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Oh my gosh, we're live. Do you realize that we're live? Moments before I go on the air every week, there's this little moment of terror when I realize we're actually live on all of these great radio stations like WPHT and KMOX in St. Louis and KMBZ in Kansas City. Kansas City, the epicenter of Arthur Bryant ribs, the greatest ribs in America. And Philadelphia, WPHT, the home of the, ready, greatest pizza in America. If I could have Philadelphia pizza right now, Neil Paul, and if I could have Kansas City ribs right now, Alan First, my life would be complete. In fact, if I had those two things in front of me right now, I wouldn't be speaking. Now, here's a story that I've been sitting on for 3 weeks. And I've been sitting on it because there was something about it that didn't seem right. The headline is, Young Men Are Stressed Out About Sex, reports find. 27% of adults surveyed say that their sex education comes from pornography, with 37% stating they learn from their partners, and 33% say they learn from trial and error, and what a good date that must be. 51% of men say porn has changed their perception of how long, get it, they should last in bed, and how erect their penis should be. The report found that young men who turn to porn are getting stressed out about what's expected of them in sexual encounters. I think that needs repeating. The report found that young men who turn to porn are getting stressed out about what's expected of them in sexual encounters. And what bothers me about this story is it says young men are stressed out about sex, reports finds. Screw them. Forgive me. Screw them. What do you mean young men are stressed out? What about men over 30 who are considered less than young sexually? What about men over 40, over 50? Are they just supposed to be stressed out about sex? Is this just the norm expectation of men over 40? They're supposed to. Listen, let me tell you about the daily events of a man over 40. The minute he sees a men's room, when he's out in public, when he's in the car and he sees a men's room, a good clean gas station, that's his cue to go to the bathroom. It doesn't matter whether or not he has to go to the bathroom. His cue is, oh my gosh, I'm over 40. There's a bathroom. I'd better go now. I had better take advantage of this now. Then you want to go into sex? You want to talk about sex? Let me tell you the biggest stress factor for a man over 40. About sex. It's not that he learned the wrong things from pornography. To him, pornography would be an incredible improvement because the last time he saw pornography was, ready, the day before he got married. The day before he got married was the last time he saw pornography. That was the last time. He got married and all of those magazines mysteriously disappeared. And then he's terrified of looking at it on the internet. Because now he has what? The biggest birth control ever. Children! If a kid's home, there will be no sex. That won't be happening. Therefore, how many hours a day are the kids home? All of them. I have a number of children, and they seem to rotate their duties at home. They're either sick or on vacation, or I'm not going to school today. What do you mean you're not going to school today? And they think I'm objecting to them staying at home for, you know, the purposes of caring about their education. That's not it at all. It's about caring about their mother. It's my desire to care about their mother in the most loving and intimate and profound way. But that isn't going to happen when they're home. Can't you lock your bedroom door? No. No, it doesn't work. It just triples the number of times that'll be banged. You know, I need something. This is the stress that men over 40 have to deal with. Don't tell me about some 20-year-old being all stressed out about comparing his manhood to pornography. I don't care. You'll work through it, as they say. This is the most insane study. Let me repeat the headline. It's in Mashable.com. You know, one of those cutting-edge, groovy, high-tech, tech-crunch publications, Mashable.com. Young men are stressed out about sex. Report's fine. Who would waste money on this report? Don't waste money on that report. Meanwhile, you listen to the radio, you watch TV. What do you see? Four hymns. What do you see? Oh, here's a new way to deal with the problem. Men, are you having problems in the bedroom? Here's a new pill, a new injection, a new therapy. Our office will see you now. That's where all the stress is. But the epicenter of that stress is good luck getting time alone at home. Good luck with that. And now to help your sex life. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk with Thea Landon, a smutty, romantic book authoress who publishes the best smutty books because they combine the two things that you, at your age, care about. Space and sex. She writes about books, sex in space, oh, among lesbians. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I am live on a Sunday night, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're Father Winston Churchill.
All right, Walter Sterling, Sterling on Sunday, 18 past the hour. There is Thea Landon, my very favorite author. Now, I did a terrible thing to Thea. I promoted her on Twitter and many other social media platforms, and at first I spelled your name wrong, Thea. I'm sorry. Then I did correct it, T-H-A-N-D-E-N, Thea Landon. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, Thea.
Thank you for having me, and I forgive you because you are definitely not the first person to do that.
It's inexcusable, though. Now, Thea writes my favorite kind of book. She writes smutty, romantic, porn. And these books are often featured in space. They're often centered in space and often centered in space with lesbians. What could be better? Now, Thea, what is the title of your latest book? And tell me about the passage you're going to share with us.
Well, for tonight, I didn't go to my latest. I went to a short story I'm sort of breathing new life into. The name of it is Andromeda's Tear. It's available on Kindle Unlimited on Amazon right now. But I've decided I don't want it to be an Amazon exclusive, so I'm taking it out of that program at the end of this month. So get it while you can. And I'm sorry to disappoint you. There are no lesbians in it, but it does take place in space because that's how I have my fun.
That sounds fantastic. Personally, I can't wait to read the entire book. Would you please share with us now a passage from the book?
Sure. For a little background, the plot of the story, it is a jewel heist, but like I said, it's in space. We have space travel, we have teleporters, because, as I said, that's how I have my fun. So here we go. Here is my excerpt from Andromeda's Tear. Ace removed the sapphire from the box and swiveled his seat to face me. Your first major crime was a success. To add to my list of confessions, I may have underestimated you at the beginning of all this. I bent over and ran my fingers over its gleaming surface. Oh, really? He chuckled. Yet here you are, orchestrating jewel heists and gallivanting around with a criminal you barely know. Are you saying you're dangerous? I teased. Our eyes met over the giant gem when he leaned forward, his face mere inches from mine. Just noting its risky behavior, though impressive nonetheless. My cheeks flushed with heat. I didn't pull away. I think I can handle whatever trouble we get into. Ace came even closer, tilting his head to the side. I closed my eyes. His lips brushed against mine, and the tremors returned to my body. When I opened my mouth to welcome the tangy velvet of his tongue, I felt a thud near my feet. The valuable sapphire rolled somewhere underneath my seat, ignored in favor of our blazing kiss. He grasped my wrists and yanked me out of the chair without breaking contact. I landed on his lap, wrapped in his arms for the second time that evening. Lacing my fingers behind his neck, I explored his mouth, craving more of the thrill only he could offer. And I think I better stop there for tonight before both of us get into trouble.
I'm just going to give it a moment of quiet meditation and respect, Thea. La, da, da. Thank you.
Oh,
now,
thank
what's
you.
The name of that book again? Where do I buy that book?
Andromeda's Tear.
Andromeda's Tear.
Yes, T-E-A-R. And as of right now, it is an Amazon exclusive, but that's going to be changing in a few weeks. And I'm also updating the cover because the first one was okay, but I thought it needed to be a little spicier. And my newsletter subscribers get the first sneak peek at the cover, which should go out sometime tomorrow.
And how do I get your newsletter?
If you go to my website, thealandon.com, there is a nice big link in the top right-hand corner. Or if you are a Twitter person, since that's where I spend a lot of my time, there is a link in my bio on Twitter.
What's shocking about your Twitter feed is that you often talk about the fact that you go to the gym, mm-hmm. that you have children, that you have a job, that you have a husband. I don't know when any of them get any attention because of all of the time you spend on Twitter. When do any of these activities get any attention from you?
Do you want to know my secret that no yes. one believes?
Yes.
I have not watched TV in 3 years.
I believe that.
Yeah. Movies occasionally, but no. The only screen I look at is my laptop when I'm writing stories.
How many hours a day do you devote to writing?
The kids go to bed by 8 p.m. I like to settle down, get a snack, catch up with social media, all that stuff. And I try to get to bed by 11:30. But if I'm in the middle of writing something good, sometimes I just think to myself, you know what? This is what coffee is for. I'll just figure it out tomorrow. And I stay up a little past my bedtime.
I have an 11-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 20-year-old, and none of them ever, since they were in diapers, have gone to bed at 8:30. How is that possible? How do you get them to sleep?
You know, we just have a routine, and I am very, very lucky. As much as they may drive me crazy sometimes, since pretty much day one, they have always been good eaters and good sleepers. And you know what? That solves a whole lot of other problems everywhere else. I shouldn't complain about them. Sometimes I do, but I shouldn't complain about them.
How old are they, Thea?
They are going to be turning 8 in a few weeks. I have twin girls.
And the 8-year-olds go to bed by 8:30.
They do, usually by 8 o'clock sometimes. They're up early, but they're pretty good about going to bed by 8.
My kids, no problem being good eaters. That's not a problem. No problem being really busy all day to tire them out. These mm-hmm. children have never been tired out. It doesn't exist in their life. I promise you that 11-year-old will not go to bed at 8:30. If she has 102 fever, she won't go to bed at 8:30. And today she announced to me that she was not going to school tomorrow. She just made this announcement. I said, no, you're going to school tomorrow. No, I'm not. I'm not going to go. It's boring. It's too boring. That will be the negotiation in the morning. But my 20-year-old, she'll go to bed at 2. My 17-year-old, she'll go to bed at 2. We're terrible parents, Thea. I'm very jealous.
You are not terrible. But I would think the older they get, the more they can entertain themselves at night. Whereas if my kids were up that late, they would want me to read them a story, make them a snack. Look what I can do on my tablet. Look at my new game. Whereas I would hope by 11, even if she's fighting with you about going to school, she's a little more self-sufficient at night.
Now, do they play Roblox and Minecraft?
Not yet. Their tablets are the kids' version of the Amazon Fire, so whatever games come with that, with all the appropriate parental controls, that's what they play. We have not ventured too far into more complex games yet.
I'm asking you these questions because I'm looking for a roadmap on how to be an actual parent. Sometimes I look at my wife and I say, you know, I wonder when their real dad's going to pick them up. Is their real dad coming today to pick them up? Because it's just inconceivable to me what they get away with. The other thing I had to ask you, I know it's been an issue in your mind at every holiday about telling your parents, your father, whether or not you write these stories, these books. And does your employer know?
Not yet. And, you know, I am hosting Easter dinner now. It was supposed to be small and low-key, and then all of a sudden we're having 16 people over. So I guess I could do that since I'm hosting. But I was thinking about our past conversations. I haven't told my boss yet either. But do you know who I did have to tell? I had to tell my accountant the other week because I brought him some nice tax forms related to all of this.
Well, you're right at home. You should be able to deduct 20% of that home or apartment.
We're working on it. Since I'm an independent contractor for my day job, we're trying to work out the exact math. You know, if I sit on one couch for my day job and then I move to the downstairs couch to write stories, you know, the math is a little tricky.
Oh, believe me, I understand tricky math. I do this show for my laundry room. And defining a laundry room is not in any of the tax codes. So it seems to be the entire basement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Seems to be the entire basement. And just in case anyone has any doubts about that, very often on this show you can hear the dryer or you can hear the washing machine. And I don't see any problems with that. Do you, Thea?
Not at all. It's a part of life and laundry never, ever, ever ends.
I also
especially when you have kids.
I also admire the fact that you are committed to going to the gym. Do you have a trainer? Because the only way I got to the gym regularly was to have a trainer waiting for me.
I attend Orange Theory Fitness, which is group fitness classes, and here's how it works. And this is brilliant and good for them for figuring it out. If you're on the unlimited plan and you sign up for class on the app, if you don't show up, or you cancel with less than 8 hours to go, they charge you an extra $12 on top of what you're already paying.
Just like my primary care physician, Thea Landon, favorite author, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I will have you on again soon because this is the type of literature I respect. Thank you very much, Thea Landon. All right, you and I can talk at 888-688-WALT. It's a very exciting night. It's the last day of winter, and it's about time. It's going to be in the 60s through most of America this week. All right, welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The dangers of a jiggle joint chauffeur. Later on Strippers on the Loose with Sterling at Night.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about this week's New York Post article entitled Bikini-Clad Coeds Brawl on the Beach in Wild Spring Break Video. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Vilo Hool. Great prices, great fun. New feature, The People of Walmart. Later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Well, you know, you turn to me each day looking for solace and sage counsel. And yes, I normally deliver. Hi, I'm Brad. Sometimes even I have feet of clay, though. I know, hard to believe. I occasionally see ski reports from some of the resorts around Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio on the AP wire. Even in a week where it has been sunny with no major snow, the resorts are all reporting fresh snowpack. I stare in disbelief. How could this be? Well, come to find out, the ski resorts make their own snow. Who knew? Boy, I bet that costs a bundle. Remember that Mark Lindsay song a few years ago, Arizona? Well, I just realized the other day that he's singing about a girl, not the state. Well, it all makes sense now. What have you suddenly discovered that opened your eyes and gave you fresh meaning? I'll open the lines after the news and the weather. Brought to you by Fab with Lemon Freshen Borax.
Why do they always sing, "Oh, Fab, I'm glad"?
Because Fab with Lemon Freshen Borax gives a deep down clean. And now Fab has all fabric brighteners, great for wash and wear and permanent press.
Are you glad about Fab, Mom?
What do you think?
Oh, they're always doing something good to Fab. It's true.
Oh, Fab, we're glad they added all fabric brighteners to the Lemon Freshen Borax in you.
All right, 888-688-WALT. There have been deadly shootings at spring break in Miami. But unlike Miami Beach police last year, they did not impose a curfew following the double shooting on the busiest stretch of South Beach. Cops said the shooting was an isolated incident in what had been a relatively peaceful week of carousing in the Party District. I'm sorry if... There have been multiple shootings. It's not a week of peace. You're not supposed to have multiple. You're not supposed to have any shootings. Listen, years ago on Miami Beach or Fort Lauderdale, wherever there was spring break, there weren't shootings. If anybody stole a hubcap, that was a major felony. That was a major event. What the hell? Listen, I lived in Fort Lauderdale for 1 year, and it was great. I'll tell you why it was great. There's no state income tax. It's 78 every day. There's one day in January where it's 59. That's the day you go to Piggly Wiggly and buy firewood. No, really. That's you light a fire when it's 59 in Fort Lauderdale. It's the home of the button. The first place in the world that had the wet T-shirt contest. It was at Penrod's and the button on Fort Lauderdale Beach. For 40 years after the first round of spring break in the 50s in Fort Lauderdale, the whole mission of the Chamber of Commerce of Fort Lauderdale was to get rid of spring break. But they had to do it slowly and quietly. You know why? Because at the time, all of Fort Lauderdale, all along the beach, were these little mom-and-pop motels, 12, 20-room motels. Their whole business, their whole year was based on those spring breakers. They were praying for those mom and pops to retire or die, and then they'd build giant hotels, which they have now done. And the giant hotels are too expensive for most spring breakers. I have a kid in college. She's 20. I have one about to go to college. There is no way in hell they're going to spring break anywhere. And I'm like the father who doesn't care when they go to bed. Believe me, I care, but I've failed at getting them to go to sleep on time. Complete failure. When I was a kid, the thought of going to spring break, I went to a party school. I went to Syracuse University. There was no way I was going to go to spring break. I was not going to go. First of all, I couldn't afford it. Secondly, I knew not to ask my mother because I didn't want her to say, "I can't afford it." And, oh, by the way, you're not going. What are you going to go there? What are you going to do there? What the heck? You run into some woman in a bikini, you won't have any idea what to do. And she's right. Because, you know, in Maplewood, New Jersey, there were no girls who wore bikinis. They all wore one-piece suits. And then they went home at 4:30 in the afternoon. There was none of that culture, none of that party, random, wild party. And now I moved to Fort Lauderdale, and there's Penrod's, and there's The Button. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then, and then I made the mistake. I said, you know, it's the height of spring break, and for some reason, instead of doing the normal thing of getting to the supermarket on local roads, I decided to take A1A along the beach, to drive along the beach. 4 years later, I got 100 yards. The traffic jam was insane. It was crazy. It was dangerous. No native of Fort Lauderdale gets anywhere near the beach during spring break, just like no native of Austin or San Antonio gets anywhere near South by Southwest. I asked my friend John Ford, who lives in Texas, who lives around South by Southwest. I said, gee, John, did you go to South by Southwest? Did you do that this year? Would you like to report on Sterling on Sunday to share with us what's going on? And he wrote back, no way. He said, nobody who lives in Texas, in Austin or San Antonio, would ever get near South by Southwest. It is for tourists and really well-funded tourists. Every company that thinks they're going to be cool needs to get their logos into South by Southwest. They need to break their records and their new indie films. There's no way any normal person would go to South by Southwest. The whole reason for that thing is photo ops for companies who want to be cool, with kids who wear all black, executives who are way too thin at the age of 50, way too. Anytime you see an executive with a 32-inch waist or a woman who is wearing a size 2 dress who's an executive over 50, there's something wrong. There's just something wrong. They're just trying way too hard. But my experience living in Fort Lauderdale was fantastic. I loved living there. Every morning I could walk to the beach. Every morning I could walk to the inland waterway. And then there was the problem. Yeah, no state income tax. Everything was beautiful. It was 78 every day. I could, in fact, pick oranges in my backyard and lemons and avocados. And I had a pool in the backyard. And I was renting. I had a corner house and I was renting. Because I'm in show business, we only rent. And only if somebody likes us a lot, because you look at that credit report, it's not going to be good. You've been in radio for more than an hour and a half. Your credit report's not going to be good, Sean. The problem is this. 78 every day. No nice humidity. It's interesting. It's often 88, but it's never 90. People have an impression of Florida that's, oh, it's so hot, it's terrible. No, it's 88 every day. Never 90. You can put the top down, no problem. I loved it there. Oh, but I forgot to have an annuity. My father forgot to leave me an annuity. That was the problem. I had to work. And the purpose of South Florida is to not work. That's why it exists. Retire, second home. You're not supposed to have your first home there. You're not supposed to be working in your home. Home in South Florida, you're supposed to be getting up at 10:43. You're supposed to be watching daytime TV, and then maybe I'll go to the store around 2:30. Oh my gosh, it's closed for lunch. And that's the other weird thing. All the retailers close at random times. They open at random times. They go to lunch at random times. Because I forgot to get an annuity from my parents, I couldn't afford to live there. I have to work. I'm going to have to work till what is it now? I'm going to have to work till I'm 88 and a half. I have a whole special scale of Social Security where I'm going to have to work till 88 and a half. I've got a big show for you tonight. Coming up, we got our friend Keith from Alaska, and we have Robert Clotworthy. Robert Clotworthy, who is the voice of Ancient Aliens and the voice of Oak Island, that guy. Yeah, he sounds like this.
Unexplained sightings. Miraculous appearances and visions that change the world. Stories of strange encounters accompany many of history's major events. Is it merely coincidence? Or might it be evidence of extraterrestrial intervention?
Well, let's ask him. We'll ask him coming up in just seconds. Robert Clotworthy with you on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down!
right, Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. It's the most unique show in American radio, according to Casey Bartholomew. And we appreciate that because Casey is one of the most insanely talented talk show hosts that I've ever hired. All right. Well, you got to hire them if you want them to say nice things about you. Now, Keith, the Anchorage Library Advisory Board votes to refer book on teen sex to the city attorney. This is big Anchorage news. This week, they sidestepped its existing policy for dealing with community concerns over its materials as members voted to forward a book in its collection to the municipal attorney for review. Like, what would an attorney know about sex? The board on Wednesday voted 3-2 to send the book entitled Let's Talk About It by Erica Mohn and Matthew Nolan to the city attorney over concern from a board member that having the book at the library was breaking the state statute and city codes. Let me tell you what the book's about. It describes as graphic novel that covers relationships, friendships, gender, all the things you think about while driving a DoorDash, sexuality, anatomy, body image, safe sex, sexting, jealousy, rejection, sex education, and says the book is a go-to handbook for every teen. Oh, my God. But rather than deal with it, the library board is sending it to the city attorney in Anchorage. Keith, how do you feel about that?
That's just, well, that's crazy. You know, they're trying to censor so many books nowadays in schools instead of actually doing what they should. Like, for instance, you know, I don't know if you guys have the same problem down there, but especially since COVID, they don't flunk kids. They don't, like, hold kids back if they're not doing good. Like, for instance, a kid that I know has failed every class all 3 years in middle school, and that student still gets pushed forward to high school, but they want to worry about books that are educational to kids.
I find it really bizarre that the library board is abdicating their responsibilities in Anchorage, Alaska, and sending it to the city attorney. You and I are talking to our buddy Keith Fons, who's a DoorDash driver outside of Fairbanks in North Pole, Alaska. And Keith shares information with us about Alaska every week, because what better source could there be than a DoorDash driver? Now, think about that. He has to know the city, has to know the community, and more importantly, he has to know the darkest secrets of the people that he delivers things to. And I just saw this article now, and the minute I see Alaska, what do I think of? I think of Keith Fons. Keith Fons, a DoorDash driver. Have we made you famous in Alaska yet? Keith, are you famous yet?
Ever since the Christmas light ordeal, I've gotten pretty popular around here. I guess some say more popular than Santa here because of the ordeal with the Christmas lights. And then, of course, I promote your show every week, so we
God
got a
bless
good
you.
Base out here that, you know, listen every week now.
Let me ask, and you always send me a nice note after, and I thank you for that, and I thank you for lying and saying that the show is terrific. Thank you for that. Now, Keith, here's the deal. There's some DoorDash questions that all of us have. Here's a trivia question. What was the largest tip you ever received as a DoorDash driver? What was the biggest tip you ever got?
About a year ago, I ended up getting, like, I think it was a $156 tip.
You know, I thought you were going to
say... it took me about 20 minutes.
Well, why did it take you 20 minutes?
Between driving to the merchant, waiting for the order, driving to the customer, took about 20 minutes, and it was a $156 tip, and DoorDash paid me $3.
Say that again.
The tip was $156, but DoorDash only paid me $3. Like, each order, DoorDash only pays us anywhere from $250 to $350. We
regardless
make all our money off of tips.
Regardless of how much I put down.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Regardless of how much I say the tip should be, they're only going to give you $2 to $3.
No. We get the tip, but DoorDash only pays their drivers $2.50 to $3.50 for the order. We make 99% of our money is made off of tips.
Boy, I'm glad we straightened that out, because I was about to go on a tirade against DoorDash, which I know you would have loved. But the fact is that I'm delighted you actually get your tips. Good for them. There's so many restaurants and bars you could work out where, gee, some of the tips would mysteriously disappear into the owner's daughter's pocket.
DoorDash had that issue about 6 years ago when they first started. They were stealing all of our tips, and then there was a class action lawsuit and so on. And ever since then, they stopped stealing our tips. They hide them from us. Like, they'll tell you an order is $10, but come to find out it was a $20 tip, and so the order was actually, when you completed the order, it would pay you $20, but they only told you it was $10. So they like to hide it until you deliver.
Keith Fons, our correspondent in Fairbanks, Alaska, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. And coming up, you and I are going to talk to Robert Cloutworthy, the narrator for The Curse of Oak Island, in seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The dangers of a jiggle joint chauffeur. Later on Strippers on the Loose with Sterling at Night.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about this week's New York Post article entitled Bikini-Clad Coeds Brawl on the Beach in Wild Spring Break Video. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Great prices, great fun. New feature, The People of Walmart. Later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Oh, I'm up. What? I thought we were going to hear an exciting feature, but that'll come up in just seconds. Well, in moments, you and I are going to hear this guy.
Unexplained sightings. Miraculous appearances. And visions that change the world. Stories of strange encounters accompany many of history's major events. Is it merely coincidence? Or might it be evidence of extraterrestrial intervention?
The voice, the storyteller of The Curse of Oak Island and The Curse of Civil War Gold and Ancient Aliens, Robert Cloutworthy, the most successful, amazing voiceover talent in America today. It'll be a pleasure to talk to Robert and get the scoop. Then I get so many nice emails from you about my daughter. My daughter in early January, 17-year-old daughter, was in a car accident. She was the passenger, the non-tort passenger. She was in the hospital for 3 nights. And when I first talked to you about it, the debate was, gee, do we go after the driver? Do we try to get a claim to their insurance? We didn't want to sue them. We didn't want to sue that family, a nice family. But, gee, should we go after the insurance? Should we get a lawyer? And we weren't sure. My daughter did not want to do that. And she's 17, and she's sweet and nice and an angel, and she just didn't want to go through all that. And I asked you. I said, what do you think I should do? Every single call said, you must file against that driver. You must go after that insurance company. And my daughter had a concussion, injuries on her leg. She chipped all of her bottom teeth. All of her bottom teeth were shoved in. The airbags did come out in the car. It was a terrible accident in the hospital for 3 nights. But here's the thing. The best call I got was you called up and you said, hi, she's a minor. You're the father. You're going to listen to a minor who had a concussion about what to do. You be the father and do the right thing. And then a number of you called up and said, listen, you got to consider the fact that the injuries may not even show up for 6 months or a year or 5 years. You may not know the extent of the damage that she suffered. She needs to be financially protected and financially covered in the future if she needs help. Well, she's been going to physical therapy every week. Excuse me. She's been going to physical therapy every week. The dentist fixed her teeth. She's improving little by little every week. But it's still a big deal. She's still nervous about being a passenger in anyone's car. I mean, think about that. She's still nervous about being a passenger in anyone else's car. That is the status of my kid. A little better every day, not perfect, has a lot of therapy to deal with, a lot of mental therapy, a lot of physical therapy, but she's on the mend. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. You and I are going to talk about something that is never talked about. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being fired right now this week. And as the economy starts to get in trouble because of these irresponsible banks, because of these irresponsible bankers who are more concerned with things other than banking, more people will lose their jobs. The venture capital markets are going to dry up. Startups are going to dry up. It's going to be harder to get venture capital money to try a new idea, to try a new business. Companies that were started by venture capitalists a few years ago, well, they're going to have trouble getting their next round. They're going to have trouble getting their next round because one of the interesting things about the many well-publicized startups is that they don't make any money. It's stunning how little money some of these companies make, like, oh, gee, Uber. Uber doesn't make any money. They just keep raising more money. They're very good at raising money, but that will stop as these funds dry up or get scared. There's nothing more terrifying than a little bump in the economy to scare away a venture capitalist. And as a result, thousands and thousands of people are getting fired, especially in the tech business, especially in the tech industries. And it's very interesting what happens when you get fired. You discover that at first you go, well, gee, I thought that person was my friend. I thought they were my buddy. I thought we were close, and I haven't heard from them. Well, first let me suggest that doesn't mean they're not your friend. Friendships are situational. Friendships are situational. There are people, for example, who are very good friends of yours, but if you go in the hospital, you may not get a visit from them. There are people who are phobic about going to the hospital. They might send you flowers. They might call you, but they're not going to visit you. And you might misinterpret that, meaning, oh, I thought they were my friend. Why didn't they visit me in the hospital? It's nothing to do with you. It has to do with the fact that they're scared to go into a hospital. And then there are people who don't know what to say. They don't have the script for dealing with a friend who's having hard times. And we'll share about all of this. I'd like to know if you've had a friend who has let you down, a family member who has shocked you and surprised you that when hard times hit, they let you down. I sure have, and I will share that with you coming up in seconds. But I'd like to know about you. Did you get fired? Did you have trouble? Did you get sick? And then all of a sudden, the people you thought were friends or your family members who you thought you could count on, you couldn't count on them. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Robert Clotworthy in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follow her down to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Robert Clotworthy on Sterling on Sunday. Robert, you were just at a convention, a science fiction convention. Which one were you at?
Well, for the first time in 3 years, we actually had AlienCon.
So it was a convention dedicated to ancient aliens. So we're back. And it was really exciting.
Were they thrilled to meet you? Were they thrilled to see you?
It's so humbling and so amazing an experience. I had a booth and I would sign autographs and meet people, and you'd see them walk. They would walk up to me and their faces would light up. It was because they were so happy to be there, so happy to meet me, and I just thought it was. You know, when you feel that kind of love from people, how can you not be humbled and just appreciated? So it was absolutely wonderful. I think that people really wanted to get together. There'd been a lot of years since we had a convention, so everybody that was there was so excited to be a part of it, and everyone was there. All the theorists were there, so it was a terrific, terrific convention. And hopefully we'll take this around the country.
When you, Robert Cotworthy, when you started narrating Ancient Aliens, did you ever imagine that you would become in front of the microphone, would be facing the fans, would be meeting the fans? When you started, didn't you imagine, well, I'm just going to be the voiceover, and that you would never be met, that you'd never be the star, and now you're the star?
It's funny because we call, you know, if Giorgio is the hair or the meme, I'm the voice of the show. And yeah, it's never in a million years would I've ever thought that something like this could happen. This is, this just does not happen where you are on a show and it goes for, I think we're in our 19th season. It's amazing. And I think the show is only getting better and better. When we first started out, Kevin Burns, the late Kevin Burns, would joke that, after a few shows, he ran out of pyramids. What is he going to write the shows about? Now, every time you go online, read a newspaper, turn the TV, there's more information that's coming out. So I think we're in a great position to be the people that hopefully will be the tip of the spear that opens the doors, that allows this information out. And, you know, now we have to sift through the topics that we're going to be discussing, which is a great position to be in.
When Ancient Aliens started, there was a lot of stock footage and a lot of stock photography, and now there's a lot of original footage and a lot of original photography, and it's first-class show. You should be really proud of it.
Well, thank you. I will certainly pass that along to the producers. We all try very, very hard to put together a really excellent show each and every episode. And I think that the quality of the program is top-notch. And you're absolutely right. I think that we're just getting better and better. I know last week's episode for me was one of my favorites, where it dealt with aliens in the skies and the experiences that private pilots had, commercial pilots had, where we actually have the actual broadcast between the pilot and the control tower about what they're experiencing. And you can hear the fear in their voices. So each week I'm amazed at what I go into the studio and do, and I'm so honored to be a part of it.
Trivia question. How long does it take you to cut the narration for an episode?
Actually, you know, I'm really good about getting the words off the page. That's something that I've been, I don't say practicing, but something I've done since I was a little kid. It was one of my things I like to do, was to just read books out loud, having never read them before, and just see if I can make sense of it while I was doing it. So it takes me, if it's a one-hour show, you know, we show up at 10 in the morning, we sit around and talk about 15, 20 minutes just to kind of get comfortable. And we're usually able to knock out the show an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes.
Robert Cotworthy, the narrator for Ancient Aliens and The Curse of Oak Island. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. On Ancient Aliens, is there, now that you've sifted through all of these theories and all of these ideas, you personally, are there one or two that you're like, yes, this is true, this is absolutely true?
Well, I have personally had experiences with people who have firsthand knowledge or firsthand experience that I cannot explain, that I cannot challenge, because it's not that they heard it from somebody else. It's, this is what happened to me. This is what I saw. And so yes, I think my eyes have been opened a little bit. My job as the narrator is to, you know, kind of follow the lead of what Kevin Burns described himself as, an agnostic who's open to the information. So I try to walk that line as the narrator, but I feel that I'm taking people along on a journey of exploration. And it's not just an exploration for them. It's also an exploration for me. So I am with you on that. So, yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, for example, I spoke to one woman who worked at NASA who told me about a conversation that she was a part of between Ron Evans, who is a pilot of Apollo 16, I believe, and Mission Control. She was actually in the Mission Control room, one of those people that sits at the computer, and was privy to the conversation, part of the conversation, where he described a UFO that followed him for 3.5 orbits around the moon and described it in detail, said it's not American, it's not Russian, I don't know what it is. And then she even spoke to him on the recovery ship when they landed and discussed the experience with him. Now, this is something she heard, I actually was able to get her on the show. So incredibly credible witness to something. Something's going on. What it is, we're trying to discover.
I think what the shows have proven to me, and I'm sure other viewers, was that in the history of mankind, when they're talking about 10,000 years ago moving 4-ton bricks, 4-ton stones with a lever, that there's a piece of history we don't have, that there's something happened that we don't have, because here are the facts. Here are 4-ton stones that have been moved into perfect alignment in these complex buildings 8, 9, 10,000 years ago, when there was no tool available, there was no knowledge available. There has to be a piece of human history. We don't have that piece.
I agree 100%. That's one of the wonderful things about the show, is that we present the evidence that's out there, and we offer the theories as to what might have happened, or we offer the questions wondering, how is this possible? And now about I think that's one. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. About the curse of Oak Island. Mm-hmm. The things that they have found on Oak Island so far, Robert,
yeah.
I look at it and I'm like, okay, that island's been there a very long time. It's been in a very heavily traveled sea lane. A lot of shipwrecks could have occurred around the island. Contents of the shipwreck could have been washed on the shore. I think a lot of the things they're finding are stuff that could have been washed on the shore. In my humble opinion, and I wish I was wrong, they're not going to find a damn thing.
Well, this season is I think pretty interesting what happens. I think that a lot of the things that they are discovering don't really explain just stuff washing up on shore. And then also the question is, why have people been there for over 200 years searching for treasure? Have things been washing up on shore for 200 years? Perhaps. But this is a true exploration on both Rick and Marty's part. They are serious about this. This is something that they've wanted to do since they were kids.
No, I got it.
And I
look at it, Robert Clotworthy, narrator of The Curse of Oak Island, I look at it as the ultimate aspirational television show, because there isn't a man in America that would not kill to be on that island doing what those guys are doing. There are no women on Oak Island. They do what they want all day. They dig holes. They have wacky explanations for the things they find.
Uh-huh.
It's like the ultimate male fantasy.
Well, you know, Miriam Amiro is on the show. We've got a few women that appear on the show. But I joke that if we find the Ark of the Covenant, that we're going to treat it like the Stanley Cup, that each one of us gets to take it home for a day. So we'll see. We'll see if what we find or what we don't find. But doesn't mean just because you don't find something doesn't mean you stop looking. I think we as people are explorers. We're always curious about what's what's next? And so these guys are doing, like you said, this male fantasy of looking for treasure on a scale that, you know, we can only dream of doing with these crazy budgets. Yeah.
Robert Clotworthy is the finest narrator in television. It is an honor to have you on the show. Thank you very much for being with me. I'm going to have you on again much sooner. I'm sorry, Robert Clotworthy. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you. All right, let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I've had many friends this month and last month get fired. And what's never discussed is people getting fired. They talk about the improvement in employment and improvement in inflation, but they never talk about people getting fired and what happens then. And then there's always these stupid statements that go with it saying, and we're going to provide these people with a generous severance package and with outplacement services. Outplacement services. What that means is they're going to have somebody who's never actually had to work look at your resume and provide you with a rented office far, far away from wherever you worked. A nice, pristine, sterile, rented office. Oh, my God. But here's the thing. In order to get that severance package and in order to get the pristine, nice office, you have to sign a release saying that you will never say a bad word about the company, no matter what, as long as you live until you die. You will never say a bad word. And then you find out something even more horrific. You find out that the people who were your friends yesterday when you had a job, many of them all of a sudden disappear. That many of the friends you thought you had suddenly disappear. And they don't return your calls that fast, if at all, or they don't really know what to do or say. And at first, when this happened to me years ago, when this first happened to me, I thought, well, that person isn't really my friend. That's not really my friend. But I was wrong. What I have learned is that friendship is situational. Relatives are situational. That the relatives you thought you could count on, you could not. And the relatives that surprised you, surprised you. I got fired from a big job 8 years ago. And it was surprising because there was no cause. And it was surprising because I had been in the job very few months. But the really bad part was that I had not signed an employment contract. Therefore, I was at the whim of my employer in terms of what I got for severance. My mistake. What was that sound? It was a terrifying sound. My mistake. And this is what I learned. I learned that friendships are situational. I learned that people who I thought were my friends are in fact my friends. They just don't always know what to do when there's bad news. They don't always know what to do when you're faced with a crisis. Not everybody has that script. Not anybody has that experience. And then other people who I barely knew, were there. This was the weirdest thing that happened to us. We were living in an apartment building. And on a different floor down the hall from one of my kids' friends was a family. I didn't know them. I still don't know their name. And out of nowhere, this family wrote us a check that helped us a great deal. And I am so grateful for that. And then the people we lived next door to for years, in it we had adjoining townhouses, all of a sudden they're saying to me, you know, Fresh Direct, they delivered too much stuff. We have this extra box of milk and food and this. Take it off our hands. Now, they never acknowledged that I was in trouble. They never acknowledged that we needed it. But it seems that the delivery service was sending them too much food. And would I help them out by taking the food? They knew we were in trouble. That's how you do it. But then I had relatives who should have been front and center for us, should have said, what can we do for you? And I did not have one relative on either side, my wife's or mine, say to us, what can we do for you? How do you need help? What can we do? And that was the shocker. On my side of the family, I had a father, a sister, and a brother, each of whom had an empty mansion. I'm not talking about had a big house. They had empty mansions. And they could have said to us, well, geez, until you get settled, why don't you stay in one of our empty mansions? And instead, I hit a buzzsaw of criticism and review of my life and review of my decisions. And I had never been a problem kid from birth. They never had to bail me out of jail. I never did drugs. I never caused them anything but a source of pride and bragging. And I've never gotten comfortable with that history. I've never let it go. You know, just pray for them, pray for forgiveness, pray to let the resentment go. I've never gotten to that point. And if I was a better guy, I would have. But it was shocking. Have you had a situation where you've run into bad news in your life and a family member or a friend who you thought was a friend suddenly became this other person, this critique machine of, you know, reviewing your life as to how this could have been avoided? Gee, I didn't get these notes when I was working. Why didn't I get these notes when I was working? But then you get surprises, too. And I'd like to know about your surprises, good surprises that have happened. And they were there as well. People who I never would have expected would have been front and center and helpful were front and center and helpful. A lot of them, including, there's this great broadcaster named Lee Harris, who does Morning Drive on 1010 Winds. And since that day till now, he has done everything possible to help me. Everything possible to help make this network show work technically, spiritually, in every way possible. And I've always been amazed. I really didn't know Lee until now, but now I know Lee, and he's a dear, good friend. How about you? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And then I will share with you the astonishing information that my daughter, Dorothy, who is a junior at Syracuse University, I will share with you the information she has shared with me about national holidays. National holidays, it's an astonishing website, and I'll share that with you. But my number is 888-688-WALT. Lets you and I talk. This is Live, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me.
There are few jobs more dangerous than being a jiggle joint chauffeur. Exotic dancers generally do not drive themselves to work for many reasons. Number one, stalkers. You know, some of these guys, they have a couple of beverages. They think the girl's pretty. They've given her $20 in tips. And voila, they're in love. So the exotic dancers usually have a chauffeur, sometimes a cab service, sometimes a boyfriend, and, you know, sometimes their Uncle Earl. Well, this happened in Los Angeles, and a dangerous time was had by all. The jiggle joint chauffeur was shot and killed after an argument at a North Hills strip club called Sin in Los Angeles. Just because the girl is pretty and you're going to do whatever she wants you to do, don't be like Uncle Earl. Don't get into a fight in a parking lot picking up your gal or your niece or whomever at the jiggle joint. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool for Strippers on the Loose on Sterling at Night.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. That's my number. I am live. And it's 49 past the hour, and I'm speaking into an RCA 77 microphone. Every broadcaster in America, sit up straight. Pay attention. I'm not using one of those EV16 microphones. I'm using an RCA 77 that was probably last used by Bob Hope. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Let's you and I talk. When you were fired, how did it go? What did you learn about your friends and your family? I learned a lot. Now, I want to talk about my daughter, Dorothy. We'll talk about getting fired in a second. I want to talk about my daughter, Dorothy. I have two, three, four, I don't know how many, three magnificent daughters. The 11-year-old, she's always amazing and stunning. The 17-year-old just got waitlisted to Sarah Lawrence. She wanted to go there as her first school, her primary school. Her current mother went to Sarah Lawrence. That was her goal. She's waitlisted. I'm describing what I'm about to describe because we're in the hallway. You know, between major events, you're kind of in the hallway, and it's breezy and uncomfortable. The 17-year-old's in the hallway. She's waiting to be accepted to Sarah Lawrence. She's on the wait list. She's going to be accepted. I feel it. Get her out of the house. My brilliant junior, who's at Syracuse University in the Newhouse School, she has applied for internships at every place that a Newhouse School kid should apply to, including NBC. Now, the legacy thing doesn't work. It only works at colleges. It doesn't work at employers. But her uncle is a producer at MSNBC. Her father was an executive vice president at NBC. Her father was the youngest executive vice president in the history of NBC to this day. Now, that doesn't mean she should get in or is worthy of getting in, but it means that she grew up in the NBC culture of working hard, getting it done, being proud of where you work. She should be an intern at NBC. Here's the worst thing. Maybe you have a kid who's experienced this. Her friends, her colleagues, people who she manages in projects at the school, they've already gotten in. They've already gotten their internship. She hasn't heard anything. She hasn't heard anything. Now, let me tell you about this girl, about my Dorothy. My Dorothy is a born leader, as opposed to her father, who's a born dictator. My daughter is a born leader. She knows how to walk into a room of 20, 30 kids who have to put together a production, have to produce a show, and she instinctively knows how to get them to be collaborative and to work together on a project and to get it done on time and ready, happy. They get it done happy. NBC, CBS, ABC, Bravo, you name the company, they would be really lucky to have her. And I don't say that because she's my daughter. I'm way too tough and pragmatic and have keen eyes to do that. I would never do that to her. It'd be a cruel thing to do. She is a gifted leader. She is a gifted producer. She showed me the lineup she puts together for this show that she does every Saturday on Citrus TV called Juice and Java. This is as good a lineup as you're going to see for Saturday Night Live. She has that thing timed to the minute. She color codes those sheets. She color codes those spreadsheets. And the people who work there who have had other producers who did their best, they're all like, she saved us. She made this work. Hello, attention. You work at NBC. You're a decision maker at NBC. You better grab her. You don't want her at ABC. You don't want her at CBS. You don't want her at Viacom or MTV. You want her at NBC because that's where she wants to be. Dorothy, you're going to get that internship because you've earned it. You're a gifted producer. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling, 53 past the hour. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. We're talking about the other end of the spectrum. Sometimes you get fired, and usually you don't get fired for a good reason. I have never heard anybody say, well, you know, they fired me, but they did it right. No, it's always, I got fired and they did it in the worst way possible, in the wrong way possible. As a consultant, I was a consultant for too many years. And that means that you can be hired and fired on the same day. You can get a new client today, and you can be fired by a client on the same day. Once, I had a client who fired me exactly the right way. It was Dr. Abe Warshaw and Brian Mahoney in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was September. They take me out to dinner. We're at dinner. They say, listen, we're thinking of changing the format. We're going to change the format. We need a different type of consultant. We'd like to end our relationship in January. They're taking me to dinner. They're giving me cigars. They're telling me I did a good job. We're just changing format. Nothing to do with you. Is 3 months enough? Is 3 months enough warning? Oh, my gosh, I would do anything for these guys. These were brilliant guys. These were great guys. But then there are other ways to get fired.
And why didn't you help her?
I did help her.
You're the free one. I'm not free. You're free. You can do all these things.
Okay, Christian. So we're going to stop it right there. Because, number one, you don't know what my job entails, nor do I need to disclose it to you. Number two, that's your area, and we're all responsible for the same thing, taking care of our customers. And so based on the situation and the outcome of it and the fact that we've had numerous encounters like this before, I am letting you go.
Yeah, that's one way to get fired. But then once it happens to you and you feel your life changing in your gut when you're walking home, when you're in the car going home, and you're like, my life's about to change. And then that last 8 years ago when I got fired, my wife, oh, gee, it's okay. She was only 7 months pregnant, and it was Thanksgiving, and I'm sitting there going, do I tell her? Should I tell her? Do I tell my wife that I have just been let go? Because if I tell her, she's going to cancel Christmas. She's not going to buy a thing for Christmas, which would have been the same thing to do, but I couldn't do that to my kids. It was Christmas. And I made an interesting decision about whether or not to tell my wife. I made a very interesting decision whether or not to tell my pregnant wife. But you learn everything about your social universe when you lose your job, everything. What did you learn about your family, about your friends when you lost your job? What did you learn? How did you deal with it? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258.
Sarah points out that one of the items is very greasy, to which Ronnie says, they're customers. They're not anything special, leaving Sarah appalled.
Children and old people are literally the worst I've ever seen in my entire life because none of them know what they want and they're like literally can't talk. You just kind of have to deal with it.
Our guests are our bread and butter. They pay our checks. They pay his paycheck.
They're just going to be here dealing with their children and we just have to wait. I don't know how hard it is to read a menu, but you know.
Families include kids and they include older people.
So that guy got fired. That guy got fired. Yeah, I don't like the customers. They're annoying me. I don't want to serve them. The kids and the old people are the worst. Oh, my gosh. But let's talk about you. When you got fired, what happened to your social universe? What happened to your life? How did it go? And advice that you have, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, we'll talk about your universe when you got fired, and you and I will talk about being an introvert on the Midnight Misfit section, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Strippers sometimes work just online, but they get stalkers too. Later with Strippers on the Loose on Sterling at Night.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about this week's New York Post article entitled Bikini-Clad Coeds Brawl on the Beach in Wild Spring Break Video. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Great prices, great fun. New feature, the people of Walmart. Later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Yep, thank you so much. For our first Florida story, we're going to Fort Lauderdale, more specifically the Rustic Inn Crab House, where a man meets a few of his friends for a night out on the town, and they got some oysters, and one of the oysters is a bacteria. It doesn't make the oyster look any different, smell any different, taste any different. But the Rustic Inn Crab House served about 100 dozen oysters just that day. But this one had a bacteria in it that after the man got home, he died. Now, this is a super rare experience, or is it? Yes, the manager of the Rustic Inn Crab House, he said that's one in a billion shot. We've been open for 60 years and probably served a couple billion oysters, and we've never had anyone get sick like this guy did. One in a billion? Well, those are pretty good odds. I don't think it's that high. This is the second dude to die in the past month from a bad oyster just in Florida. Not trying to freak you out or anything, just Florida's got gators and pythons and monkeys and crazy homeless guys on bath salts and gangbangers and mass shooters, and even the food will kill you. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to go to the Tampa area, where a 34-year-old Florida man and his new bride are on their honeymoon. Isn't that sweet? They've come to Tampa. They've gotten a room downtown, having the time of their life, celebrating their new love together. And in the morning, the bride wakes up and her groom isn't there. Well, where is my new husband? Well, it turns out that after you went to sleep, Florida woman, your new husband decided that he was going to go over to the Hyatt to meet a prostitute. So if that's not bad enough, on top of it, it's not even a real prostitute. So when he shows up, he's placed in handcuffs, sent to jail. It's a local sex trafficking sting operation. And so that's why he's not there when you wake up. And if you're thinking, oh, how could this newlywed be so dumb as to go get a prostitute during his honeymoon? I would think it was rare, but there was 176 men arrested in this sting operation. I had no idea it was that popular. I guess guys in Florida just can't order whores fast enough. Other than that, though, how was your honeymoon? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What
a dinner. Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
11 past the hour, 11 past the hour, a live network radio show on a Sunday night that doesn't exist. Usually it's the gold show, the bullion show, the Bitcoin show, the retirement show, the retirement is going badly show, whatever you imagine it is, that's not what this is. This is the safe way to get from Sunday night to Monday morning, the third shift, the late shift. Welcome. We are the people who get to work at the time when the trays are out from the birthday party that took place at noon, and there's nothing on the tray except one half-eaten oatmeal raisin cookie because somebody thought it was a chocolate chip cookie. 888-688-WALT. My Midnight Misfits, Rebecca Canner, welcome. The Datz family, Judy Anderson, Neil Paul, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Mary and June Riley, welcome. D. Wells, the fabulous D. Wells. These are the Midnight Misfits. If you'd like to be a Midnight Misfit, here's all you have to do. You got to get a card that says you're a Midnight Misfit that explains what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. It lays out the fact that you must like corned beef. It's essential that you like corned beef. Plus, you get a decoder card. And on that decoder card, you'll be able to decode, decipher messages that I give you at this time. And you know it's at this time because you'll hear the decoder bed, and I will tell you how to get that card in one moment.
Kilo, go ahead. Kilo, go ahead.
Here's your secret message. The letter P, the letter Y, 440. Kilo, the letter P, the letter Y, 440. You get your decoder card at waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Click the tab that says Midnight Misfits. That's you. Midnight Misfits, that's you. Because no normal person would listen at this time of day. We are introverts. We do not belong. We do not fit in. Some genius program director years ago explained, well, the reason why you're not on earlier on every night is because your show doesn't fit in. I said, do you need another show that screams at the Democrats? I think that's covered. I think you have people who are really good at screaming at the Democrats. I don't care, because I know that if I open the cellar door and I see water on the floor, that is more important than anything that could happen in Congress today. That is more important than any Democrat ever said today. If the check engine light is on in my car, that is more significant than any imaginary problem that the Democrats are going to cause. And so that's what I talk about. Here are 10 things to know. 10 things that introverts like that other people don't like. We love to daydream. We love it when plans are canceled. There's no greater thing that I can hear my current wife say than her to say, oh, you know, we're not going to do that thing tonight, whatever it was. If I get to just stay at home and be alone, I'm in heaven. We stay up late. Introverts stay up late. It's one of the characteristics of introverts. We have more talking to ourselves. We talk to ourselves more than normal people. We get curious about things that hook our attention. And we tend to have a long pause after we're asked anything. And there are five more, and I'll share them with you coming up. Plus, we're going to talk about some TV shows that are fascinating because they're aspirational. Many great television shows you enjoy because when you watch them, like Ancient Aliens, or even more so, The Curse of Oak Island, these are aspirational shows. What middle-aged guy doesn't wish that he had an unlimited budget to bring in giant digging equipment, huge bulldozers to dig for treasure, and to do it for 6 months of the year? And every now and then he finds a gold chain that may have fallen off a ship, who knows? But then let's keep going, because we believe 200 years ago a treasure was buried here. Let me help you about that Curse of Oak Island thing. 200 years ago, a treasure was not buried 200 feet in the ground because they could not dig 200 feet in the ground. And it's an island. And you know, when you're on the beach, if you dig a hole, I don't know, a yard deep, what do you find? The ocean! The ocean comes in. Not a trap door that makes the water come in. It's a natural phenomenon known as the ocean. That show has gone on for like 9 seasons, and they keep digging. And I know Robert Clotworthy said that there's a woman on the show. I've never seen a woman on the show. Maybe she came in for a sneak appearance and then ran back to land going, those guys are crazy. Those guys are out of their mind. We'll talk about aspirational TV shows, and I love to talk to you. That's why I do this show. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. What's the heck's the name of the show? Oh, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Sales, fun, and so much can happen at your Walmart. The values and the savings inspire people to be less than rational. Elizabeth Babb, she's from Oklahoma City, and she fell into the trap, the mesmerizing glare of that yellow star on top of that wonderful blue at Walmart. She goes, hey, I'm just going to be for a second. I've got twin girls. Why bring them along? It's only 95 degrees outside. Let me go and just run in real quick. I'll leave the sunroof open. Well, they go in. A good Samaritan notices the little girl's crying. She climbs through the sunroof, the good Samaritan. I didn't realize there were people going to Walmart that were thin enough to get through a sunroof, but there we go. She goes and she frees those children, alerts Walmart management. Walmart management tries to page the woman, tries to get her to come forward. And she doesn't show up for a little bit because, oh, she was shopping. There were values. So she went and found the manager after checking out. Claimed that she was in the store for 5 minutes. No, it was for 35 minutes. Elizabeth Babb, she go to jail. Remember, those savings can get you. Those savings can be an impulse. the people of Walmart. I'm Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
All right, here are the other five items that introverts like, because you and I are introverts. I get energy from being alone. I do this show in a room alone, in a laundry room. Yes, an actual laundry room alone. Most people on the radio are in rooms alone. It is a stunning conceit. People on the radio would appear to be vibrant, popular, outgoing. We're not. 99% of the people on the radio sit in rooms alone and give the appearance of being social. This seems like a very social thing. I'm in your car. I'm 14 inches away from you right now coming out of that speaker. I'm in the 18-wheeler with you waiting to stop at the next Love truck stop. But, oh, gee, I'm alone. And that's how people on the radio, and if you were to meet any of us, we barely know how to talk. The minute we get off the air, we barely know how to talk. Here are five other items that identify an introvert. These are things introverts like. See if you can identify with us. We explore alone and solve problems alone. We enjoy self-criticism. We love the smell of books and often read a lot. Listening to music while studying. And we're in the habit of creating our own happiness. There's nothing worse for me than when I'm with a group of people and we say, well, let's have a group think. Let's think about this. Or listen, we're going to the game, Walter. Do you want to come with us? Well, how many are going? Well, there are going to be about 12 of us. No. There's nothing more terrifying to me than being out with a group of people. Because what I'll do, I'll shut down. I won't talk. I love to go to dinner with you and one other person. Three. Three's okay. Four, maybe. Beyond that, forget it. Five, I'm going to shut down. I'll be quiet. That's what introverts do. That's what we do. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. The phenomena of being fired. How did that go for you the last time? The last time you were fired, how did that go? The last time I was fired, my wife was 7 months pregnant, and it was Thanksgiving. And my debate was, do I tell her? Because if I told her, she would cancel Christmas. She wouldn't spend one nickel on Christmas. And I wasn't going to let that happen. I didn't tell her. About a week before Christmas, she figured it out. And she was like, what? What? I won't make that mistake again. But I really thought I was doing the right thing because she was 7 months pregnant and it was a couple days before Christmas. Why ruin all of the above? Okay. Now I want to talk about something very different. Let's talk about television shows that are aspirational. A good friend of mine, a big deal television executive, Ed, told me about, he said, you know, you watch that Guy Fieri show. And that Guy Fieri show is very interesting because that's aspirational television. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, listen to it.
Out is Mexican food. I mean, so many different styles and methods and interpretations, you name it. One of the things I've learned on Triple D is there is great Mexican food everywhere. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio now to check out a joint that says they're doing Mod Mex. Oh, yeah, this is Momocho.
Trout, pick up.
Creativity with the tradition.
Duck and yam, enchiladas. I love the goat cheese guacamole.
You don't get this anywhere else.
Salsa and trio, pick up, please.
Nothing compares to this. This is something that Eric has created.
One time,
that'd be chef and owner Eric Williams.
Alcachofa, pick it up.
Who opened this joint almost 4 years ago with a mission.
Not only produce good food, but introduce new things to Cleveland. Two tingas, everything's bold, lots of flavors. There's no walk-in coolers, there's no reach.
Seriously?
We do everything from scratch.
Now listen, yep, he's like in the chef's kitchen. Taquitos. He's decided he wants to eat Mexican food. And he gets to sample each step of the way.
Six different ways. We have the traditional, the pineapple, and the blue cheese.
Blue crab. chipotle with pickled corn.
Wow!
Goat cheese and roasted tomato. And then the one we're making today, smoked trout and bacon.
That's got to be a nice one.
It's great. Avocados, small batch.
This is a small batch?
We go through about 6-8 cases a day. We're going to add kosher salt, chopped garlic, lime juice. Then we're going to mash it. We want to get it soft,
nice and creamy.
Creamy, no chunks. Next, we're going to add our onions, jalapeno, fresh chopped cilantro.
You say jalapeno or jalapeno?
Jalapeno. I'm from Erie. This is our guacamole traditional. And what we do is we treat this as a base. Now we're adding the flavors. All right, we're going to start with soaked mesquite wood chips on the stovetop. Start at the smoke. Come out with the big bad boy.
Which has a vent at the bottom of it.
Now we're adding the trout.
Because that's what it's all about.
Salt, cracked black pepper.
And you're going to smoke this bad boy.
I've just posted what introverts like to do on my Facebook page, Walter Sterling, Walter M. Sterling, the Facebook page, Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R. Now, there's Guy Fieri. He's it's an aspirational show. Don't you want to be Guy Fieri? Look at his life. He drives where he wants in a convertible, goes where he wants. He goes to these out-of-the-way restaurants that no one's heard of. He orders off the menu in the kitchen. He stands there with the chef, and then he eats things that should give him a heart attack, and there are no consequences. No one is saying to him, when are you going to be home? No one's saying to him, be sure to bring some stuff home for the kids. That never happens to Guy Fieri. He eats whatever he wants. It's an aspirational show, just like American Pickers. American Pickers is an aspirational show. Two guys getting in a truck, driving around, stopping where they want. They buy something stupid. They buy a Coca-Cola sign. They buy an oil can. And oh, my gosh, they're happy. Nobody's saying to them, when are you going to be home? No one's saying to them, be sure to find something fun for the kids. You and I will talk more about aspirational TV in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please, go away from me.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about this week's New York Post article entitled Bikini-Clad Coeds Brawl on the Beach in Wild Spring Break Video. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Strippers sometimes work just online, but they get stalkers too. Later with Strippers on the Loose on Sterling at Night.
A woman gets struck by lightning on her first day of school. A man visits a prostitute on his honeymoon. And we're going to push another pedophile into the wood chipper. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is all coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat how you got it.
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired New York City Police Detective, I'd like to talk about an article that appeared in this week's New York Post entitled Bikini-Clad Coeds Brawl on the Beach in Wild Spring Break Video. Only in Florida, right? So earlier this week in Fort Lauderdale, two female college students became internet sensations after a video of them brawling on the beach went viral on TikTok with over 100,000 views. Now, in the video, the two bikini bimbos are performing what's called Oklahoma drills. It's a football practice technique in which two players charge at one another and wrestle to the ground. The young women wrestlers fight it out in the shallow waters of the Atlantic before one of their breasts popped out of their swimsuit. Now, the article amused me, but it also left me with a lot of questions. Like, who's paying for this? College is expensive. Tuition, housing, and let's not forget about the expensive textbook scam that professors pump out books every year that nobody seems to read and students have to pay for. These days, students aren't working their way through college. They either take out student loans or deplete their parents' retirement fund. So on top of footing the bill for these young ladies' education, I'm guessing the parents are footing the bill for spring break in the Sunshine State. In my day, after the age of 18, I had to work if I wanted something for myself. Clothing, car insurance, and countless other expenses were now my responsibility. Spring break sounded like a lot of fun, but nobody was going to pay for it but me. In today's society, young people's priorities are skewed. They're more concerned with their social credit score on these ridiculous social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and God knows what else, than getting a real education and becoming productive members of society. I would be appalled if either of these two young ladies were my daughter, wrestling around half naked on the ground for all to see. Sadly, when they have children of their own in 20 years from now, they're going to look back on that day they decided to make jackasses out of themselves for all the world to see. What young people don't realize is the internet is written in pen, not pencil. So something you say or do or post that's ridiculous and funny and cool now can come back to bite you in the ass years later and embarrass you or cost you a job. Well, that's my two cents anyway. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department.
The best television shows are aspirational shows. You want to be on the curse of Oak Island. You want to be on Oak Island and be able to order any giant digging equipment that you could ever imagine. You want to be Guy Fieri, going from obscure restaurant to obscure restaurant, eating in the kitchen with the chef off the menu and no check and no consequences for those cardiac meals. Those are great television shows. It's aspirational television. It's what we want to be. We want to be one of the stars of Pawn Stars, to have people come in and give us things and we can say, yes, that's good or not. But, you know, by the way, Pawn Stars is Star Trek. In the original Star Trek, there was one person in charge. Nobody argued with them. Ultimately, one person made the decision. Strange people came onto the flight deck. Strange characters would come in, and then people would have to judge whether or not they were friend or foe. That's just like Pawn Stars. One person's in charge. Rick makes a decision. Nobody argues with it. They may argue with it behind his back, but ultimately he has the final say as to whether or not they're going to buy an item or not and how much they're going to pay for it. Chumlee really doesn't matter. He's sort of comic relief, but not that funny. So it's always up to Rick. There's one person in charge, and there's great comfort when one person is in charge. There's great comfort when one person makes a decision and doesn't waffle. That's our fantasy. That's what we want in life. And American Pickers is like that.
Can we look around in here?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Wow, this is packed. Dang, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So you must have bought everything, gas and oil,
right,
within like a 50-mile radius.
Or 100-mile.
No doubt.
Yeah, my wife might call it hoarding, but I never thought that. I just thought I was saving it from oblivion. Because a lot of this stuff disappeared, got scrapped. And if I could save it by collecting it, that's another benefit, too.
You know this sign's next level. I mean, the quality of this.
Yeah.
Can I pull this out?
Absolutely, yeah. When I was a kid, Flying A was all over the place.
So that
was my favorite to look at, the graphics and everything.
Up into the 1960s, the winged A of Flying A Gas was one of the most iconic logos and one of the most iconic brands. Where did you find this?
North Carolina.
No kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were on the road looking for stuff.
I was on the road also. If I was on vacation, I'd vacation in North Carolina and I'd drive 200 miles in a circle sometimes.
Yeah.
888-688-WALT. If you'd like to follow me on Facebook, and I wish you would, it's Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. And I've just posted the 10 things that introverts like me like to do. I just posted that up for you. Well, now, we're talking about this interesting phenomena that if you watch a TV show and you really like it and you really care about it, it's aspirational that the characters on that TV show are doing something that you wish you could do. You wish you could get in a truck with your best friend and drive around the country and go to obscure garages and find old cars and buy them. They never see it. Then they imagine what it is that they're going to get for that Coca-Cola sign. They put a graphic up that says, well, they spent $10 on this and they're going to sell it for $110. We never know if that actually happens. So it's all a fantasy. The economics of American Pickers, all a fantasy. Same thing with Guy Fieri. We don't know what those dishes cost. You know, 400 pieces of shrimp on a piece of artisan bread. We don't know what that's going to cost. And he doesn't either. He just gets to eat it. That's a great fantasy. And nobody ever says, hey, Guy, you're getting too fat. Or you got to watch it. I mean, you know, what do I eat every day? Lipitor, Crestor. That's what I eat every day. But coming up, I'm going to talk to you about a show that I think is the ultimate aspirational show with the ultimate aspirational star. All right, that's coming up for you in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. You and I can stay in touch at all times. Here's my email address, and I'd love to hear from you. Every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I have a spectacular website thanks to Lee Harris and James Copeland and Charles Van Zandt. Walter Sterling Show. You go to that website, you can download your Midnight Misfit membership card. Do that. Go ahead and do that. You can find my podcasts. You can find out about the terrific guy who owns Northern Ad Agency, Michael Doucette. You can see a picture of Michael Doucette. And who wouldn't want that? Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we have an 18-year-old girl from Alabama who is just starting the next chapter of her life. She's going to college. She's a freshman at West Florida, and it's in Pensacola. Beautiful, right near the beach. She's away from home for the first time, and it's the first day of classes. She goes through all her classes on that first day, and as she's walking home, just beaming with optimism, beaming with pride about her situation in life. Now she's beaming because a lightning strike. You know, lightning starts from the ground and goes up to the clouds. And it started when she was walking. It started in her left foot. It blows a hole through her shoe. It blows a hole through her sock. Travels up the left side of her body. Explodes the Apple Watch on her left wrist. And then pops out of her chest all the way up to the clouds. It takes less than a second, but she is blown off of her feet. Her cute little black blouse has been burned all the way up the front, so now she's exposed. A senior goes, helps her up, covers her up, gets her to the hospital. She's going to be okay. They say if she hadn't been an 18-year-old in fantastic physical shape, she very likely would have had a heart attack and died. Her mom tells the local TV station, "We definitely feel like God performed a miracle for her. That's the only explanation for why she is still here with us." Lady, God just hit your daughter with a lightning bolt. I don't think he's doing you any favors. I mean, I appreciate your optimism. I just see it a little different. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, it's Walter Sterling is the Twitter account, and Walter M. Sterling is the Facebook account. And I honestly post a lot more on Facebook, and I hope you join me there, Walter M. Sterling. Join me on Facebook. I will post wacky pictures and deep and profound things that I want to share. Aspirational television. Television shows where you go, you know, I wish I was one of those characters. I wish I was with them. I wish I was part of that. And one of them is the best show I've seen in years. It's called For the People. And For the People is created by Shonda Rhimes and Paul Davies. Paul Davies created it, wrote the scripts. What's it about? It's about a team of federal prosecutors and federal defense attorneys who work in the Southern District of Manhattan at the mother court, the mother federal court. Now, I don't like police procedurals. I don't like legal procedurals, but I like this because I look at the lawyers and I'm like, I want to be one of them. They're all 29. The federal prosecutors and the federal defense attorneys, public defenders, they're all 29. They all wear extremely well-tailored clothes. I mean, the clothes is spectacular. They all have casual sex, and they all eat at a sushi bar, and they drink at a cool bar, one of those bars that you and I could never find. But the reason I really like this show, besides the fact it is aspirational, is there is one character who is Spock, has the same appeal of Spock. It's 100% of logic. She is all logic, and she is right. And there's no arguing with her because she knows her stuff. And the character is named Kate Littlejohn. Kate Littlejohn on For the People. Every post on YouTube of this show that features Kate Littlejohn elicits dozens and dozens of comments that are not like, gee, she's great, or gee, that was an interesting scene. No, no, detailed reactions to what she said and what she did. In fact, there was one person who posted detail about, wait a minute, she went to the University of North Carolina. She shouldn't be dressed like this. She should be dressed as a preppy. They should outfit her from Brooks Brothers. And he goes into enormous detail about how Kate Littlejohn should be dressed. That's an aspirational character. That's an aspirational show where you get so involved with it that you're now imagining how the characters should be dressed. This is Kate Littlejohn.
I think it's fun, too. We should do it again sometime.
You mean another sting operation? Or I could teach you how to shoot?
Oh, I know how to shoot.
You don't know how to shoot.
Oh, did I mention that she's bisexual and attracts the hottest people you've ever seen in your life? All right, that's a side benefit. But her character as a lawyer is like, oh my gosh, that's some lawyer. Kate Littlejohn on For the People. Oh, did I mention the show was canceled in 2018? It was canceled. It was on ABC, but now you can see it streamed on Hulu. There are only 20 episodes. There were only two seasons. The ratings were terrible. Why were the ratings terrible if this was such a good show, Walter? I will tell you why. It's because in the first season, the show was launched on a Tuesday night at 8 p.m. This was not an 8 p.m. show. It is a 10 p.m. show. And then a year later, a full year later, they launched the second season at 10 p.m., but it's too late. And in the second season, as best I can tell, they canceled all the sex scenes. There are no sex scenes in the second season. First, there was interracial love, there was lesbianism love, it was incredible. And then in the second season, there was none, and that was at 10 p.m. These ABC people, not always the smartest people, but For the People is worth watching on Hulu. It's worth watching on the stream. I can't begin to tell you what an aspirational kick it gave me because it was in Manhattan. Everybody who is 29. Everybody wears well-tailored clothes. Everybody's glib and quick. I love the show. Can't say enough about the show. I'm going to get Susanna Flood, who plays Amy Schumer's sister on Amy Schumer's new show. Plays her sister. But she plays Kate Littlejohn on For the People. I'm going to get her on this show. I have to talk to her about her career because she should be the star of a show. She is like Spock. That's what her character is. She's Spock. All logic and reason and sensibility and focused and exactly the person you want to work with who knows the right answer but is not going to let you get away with anything. That's who you want. For the People. I mentioned last week that the reason, that there's a reason that it turns out women are the reason that we can pay at the pump. At first, people who owned gas stations were like, women aren't going to want to pay at the pump. They're not going to want to get their hands dirty. They're not going to want to da-da-da-da-da. Turns out it is women who wanted to pay at the pump. Why? Because then they don't have to take their kids out of the car. Have a great week. The greatest gift you and I are given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.